We all do it right. Hop online without a second thought. It's easy to forget that not everyone has that luxury, that for some, internet access is a luxury, not a given. And that's what we're diving deep into today, the digital divide, and how it's shaping lives right here in Winnipeg's North End. We're going beyond the surface level, beyond just numbers and statistics. Our source, a fascinating research article from the Journal of Community Informatics titled Barriers to Meaningful Connectivity, Exploring Internet Access Options in a Low-Income Urban Neighborhood. Now, this wasn't some distant study. This was a community-based research project, meaning they talked directly to the people living this reality every day. And that's what makes this deep dive so compelling. We're getting those firsthand insights, those real-life stories that data alone can't capture.
Absolutely. It's about understanding the human impact, the very real challenges that exist beyond the cables and routers.
So let's unpack this idea of meaningful connectivity.
Yeah.
The study emphasizes this term, so it's clearly not just about having a connection, it's about what you can actually do with it.
Exactly. Imagine having a highway but no car. You technically have access, but can you really go anywhere? Can you participate fully in society? In today's world, meaningful internet access is key to participating in education, healthcare, employment, you name it. And for marginalized communities like those in Winnipeg's North End, the stakes are even higher.
It's like this article highlights the COVID-19 pandemic really brought this issue to the forefront. Suddenly, being offline meant being cut off from essential services, from connecting with loved ones, from opportunities.
Absolutely. And what's fascinating here is that the research team didn't just send out surveys or crunch numbers. They used a method called CBPAR, Community-Based Participatory Action Research. Essentially, they partnered with residents, listened to their stories, and made sure their voices were at the heart of the research.
So what are we hearing from these voices? What are some of the biggest barriers to meaningful connectivity that the research uncovered?
Well, one quote from the article that really hit me hard was a resident saying they literally had to choose between internet access and putting food on the table.
That's the harsh reality for many in the North End. The high cost of internet service, coupled with limited data plans, forces families into impossible situations.
It's heartbreaking because it's not just about missing out on the latest viral trend. It's about basic needs, educational opportunities, even staying connected with family. And the research goes beyond individual experiences to expose a systemic issue, digital redlining.
Okay, digital redlining. Let's break that down for our listeners.
Essentially, it's when telecommunications companies underinvest in low-income areas, resulting in slower speeds, older technology, and ultimately a widening of the digital divide. It's like laying down a dirt road in one neighborhood and a superhighway in another.
And the study actually found evidence of this in Winnipeg. While some neighborhoods enjoy lightning-fast fiber-optic internet, the North End is stuck with outdated technology, further exacerbating the challenges residents face.
Precisely. And this isn't just a Winnipeg issue. It's a pervasive problem that demands attention. The lack of meaningful internet access has ripple effects that extend far beyond the individual. It impacts families, communities, and perpetuates a cycle of inequality.
So it's more than just missing out. It's about what individuals and families miss out on. Opportunities for advancement, for connection, for a better life.
Exactly. And that's where the concept of opportunity costs comes in, which the article dives into. It's not just about what people lack in the present moment, but what they miss out on in the long run. Educational opportunities, job prospects, even social connections, all because of this digital divide.
It paints a pretty bleak picture, to be honest. But thankfully, the researchers didn't just leave us with a problem. The article also explores some potential solutions. And one that really caught my eye was the idea of community networks.
Community networks offer a really interesting alternative to traditional internet providers. Imagine a network that's built, owned, and operated by the community itself.
So instead of being stuck with whatever options big corporations decide to offer, residents have a say. They have more control over things like affordability, what type of content they can access, even data privacy.
Precisely. And while the concept might sound radical, it's not some pie-in-the-sky idea. There are real-world examples of successful community networks in action, proving that this model can work.
Okay, any details? What do these success stories look like?
Well, let's take the Detroit Digital Justice Coalition in the United States. They've managed to establish a thriving, community-owned and operated Wi-Fi network in a city that's faced many of the same challenges as Winnipeg's North End.
So they're showing that it can be done, but what are they doing differently? What's the secret sauce?
One key ingredient is their focus on digital literacy. They understand that simply providing access isn't enough. You need to equip people with the skills and knowledge to actually use the technology effectively and safely. Imagine giving someone a toolbox, but not teaching them how to use any of the tools.
It's like that old saying, give a man a fish and you feed him for a day. Teach a man a fish and you feed him for a lifetime. Except here, it's more like, teach a community to Wi-Fi.
Exactly. And this resonates deeply with the concerns we heard from North End residents about data privacy and security. The Detroit Digital Justice Coalition prioritizes these issues, ensuring residents feel empowered and safe online.
Okay, that's one inspiring example. Are there any international success stories that stand out?
Absolutely. Look at Goifi.net in Catalonia, Spain. It's one of the largest community-owned networks in the world, with over 30,000 nodes and counting.
30,000? That's mind-boggling. How do you even begin to build something that massive?
It's a testament to the power of collaboration. You see, Goifi.net operates on a mesh network model. Essentially, each user contributes a small amount of their own bandwidth to the network, and it all links together, creating this amazingly resilient and distributed system.
So instead of relying on a single central source, it's more like a spider web with connections going in every direction. That sounds way more resilient than what we have with traditional providers.
Exactly. Plus, this collaborative approach makes it incredibly cost-effective, and that aligns perfectly with the community spirit we see in the North End. Residents are used to supporting each other, and a community network could tap into that existing strength.
These examples are really making me think differently about internet access. It doesn't have to be this thing controlled by corporations, subject to their whims and profits. It can be something communities build and control themselves.
And that shift in perspective is what makes this research so important. It's not just identifying a problem, it's about empowering communities with potential solutions.
It all sounds pretty amazing, but I'm sure there are challenges, right? Building and maintaining these networks can't be easy.
You're right. It's not always smooth sailing. One of the biggest hurdles is securing funding and resources.
Yeah.
Community networks often rely on a patchwork of grants and donations, which can be unpredictable and make it tough to plan for the long term.
That makes sense. You need more than just enthusiasm to keep the servers running and the bits flowing. Yeah. What about the technical side of things?
That's another challenge. Building and maintaining these networks requires technical expertise, which can be scarce in communities that are already facing a digital divide. It's a bit of a catch-22.
So you need skilled people to bridge the digital divide, but the digital divide itself can make it hard to find those people in the first place.
Precisely. But here's the important takeaway. The research emphasizes that these challenges, while real, are not insurmountable. With the right support from policymakers, from funders, from the tech sector, community networks have the potential to be true game changers.
This deep dive has been eye-opening, to say the least. We started talking about something we all take for granted, internet access, and uncovered this whole hidden world of inequality and resilience.
It really underscores that this isn't just about technology, it's about people. It's about ensuring that everyone has the opportunity to participate fully in our increasingly digital world.
Exactly. It's about that single mom in the North End being able to help her kids with their online homework, or that senior staying connected with family across the country. It's about recognizing that meaningful connectivity isn't a luxury, it's a necessity in the 21st century.
And what I find particularly inspiring is that this research doesn't just point out problems. It offers a path forward. It empowers communities to take control of their digital destinies.
So for someone listening right now, maybe even in Winnipeg's North End, what's the message you want them to take away from this?
That they're not alone, that this issue matters, and that even small actions can make a difference. Support organizations working to bridge the digital divide. Talk to your elected officials. Maybe even volunteer your time or skills. Every bit of effort helps move us towards a more equitable future.
I love that. It's a call to action for all of us. And it's got me thinking, what if we took this idea of digital equity even further? What if we stopped thinking of internet access as a commodity, something you pay for, and started thinking of it as a public good, like libraries or parks?
Now you're talking. Imagine a world where everyone, regardless of income or zip code, had access to free, high-quality internet. The possibilities are endless.
Education gaps could shrink, entrepreneurship could flourish, and communities could connect and collaborate in ways we haven't even imagined yet. Well, that's all the time we have for today's deep dive. We hope you found this exploration of meaningful connectivity as fascinating and thought-provoking as we did. Remember, knowledge is power, but only if we use it to create a better world for everyone.